This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and online at will.illinois.edu. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for tuning in this afternoon. And it is the first Friday of November. The first Friday of the month is when we talk about dogs here on the Afternoon Magazine. And back with us this month, Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They're with us to take your telephone calls to talk with us about dog care, behavior, and training. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. Welcome back. What's he up to, Carol? He's already starting, huh?
He's in hyperactive mode. He's like a Saint Vitus dance. Now we're removing baby Ruth from our teeth. Quietly, he's trying to.
Trick-or-treat candy out in the lobby.
So intensely annoying.
Then my work here is done.
Oh, the hour is young. Yeah. Well, what is coming up? What's on the calendar at the dog training club?
I think that when I handed this to him, he goes, I know. So I think that the director of training...
For you watching at home, I just walked into the studio just as the theme music was playing because I looked this up. And we're here saying, gee, we don't know what's going on this month. And someone has to call in. But on November 16, 17, and 18, which is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're having an obedience and rally trials. And the rally is Friday, the 16th, in the evening, Nishvar. And then rally is the first thing on Saturday morning on the 17th. And then the obedience will follow that on the 17th, and then obedience only on the 18th. And this, of course, is all at our building on Harrison Ford Road out in northern what?
Urbana.
Look at. I think you need new glasses. You can't hold it any further away.
Yeah, you're right.
You need to go see Dr. Sam again.
And it says November 21st, Cappuccini Good. I don't know what that means.
That's my handwriting.
Good
I don't
citizenship
know.
Test.
Oh, yeah, canine I mean, good citizenship. Cappuccino. Well, doesn't that look like Cappuccino Good?
I don't have my glasses on. No, from okay. Here, it does. Sorry.
Anyway, on November
Starbucks
21st,
order.
Starting at 6 o'clock, yeah. Same place, we're having our CGC, Canine Good Citizen test, which is open now. In order to come to the rally and obedience trials, your dog has to be entered. The entry's closed on Halloween, I think.
Mm-hmm. So it's an AKC event.
This is an event. Pre-entry's required. But if you're not entered, you can still come without your dog.
Without your dog.
And watch and throw things at people while they're...
You know, it's really fun to go to these things and just watch because, number one, if you're not entered, you have no pressure. And number two, it's a great way to get to see what you're capable of doing one day. I mean, it's just... And rally is very much fun. And obedience is extremely fun. So it's a nice way to spend that weekend before Thanksgiving, kick off the holiday season.
I'm trying to think. Oh, I've been to the National since last we were here.
Yeah. I'm anxious to hear how it went.
Well,
why don't you tell
see.
People where it was well, and what it is?
How about if we come back to that?
Oh, we have a caller?
After we take a call. We'll come back to that. But first, we're going to talk with somebody in Piatt County on line 4. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I have two questions, two different dogs. The first is an adored poodle, 14 years old, diabetic, and also on thyroid medicine. And within the past, I would say since this summer, she started excessive scratching on the carpet, which she never did, just pawing at the carpet. And it's not because she wants to go outside or anything like that. I can't interpret it. It's just that, you know, it's really hard on my carpet, and she's never done that before. And I just wondered if there's, but it started after she started taking her thyroid medicine. And so I just wondered if there's any possible
medical connection.
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably not, but hypothyroid dogs, or people for that matter, mm-hmm. don't have as much energy as dogs with a normal thyroxin level. Is that a, and it may be that after, now I assume she was hypo before. And
Slightly, yes.
Okay. It in getting her back to normal for her, depending on how long she's been hypo, mm-hmm. It, you know, for us it might be like an extra jolt of energy,
mm-hmm.
and having nowhere else to expend this energy, she may just be digging.
Okay.
And since she's inside, she digs inside. How do you solve that problem?
Well, I'm thinking, too, that it could be just one of those little aberrations that start to occur as dogs become geriatric.
Okay.
Little behaviors
that grow older.
Yeah, little behaviors that Tracy did that when she got older. She would dig at the carpeting, and it was just, you know, it was just one of those
that,
little
that
things.
That could be, but this behavior started right after she started the, mm-hmm. the medicine.
Which is worth exploring.
If you could, did she dig in the same spot all the time?
No, it's different spots.
Oh, that. I was going to say, just get a little, you know, throw rug or something and put it where she usually.
We have several.
Yeah, put it where she usually digs. One that's expendable.
Okay.
And the other thing you could do is put a throw rug down and put food under it, and then she'll try to dig there all the time.
Okay.
See, that's
a pretty good idea.
Works. All my ideas are good.
No, they're not. I like that one, though.
And, you know, just in other words, she's 14. You're not going to really train her not to do this. So just try to redirect it a little bit.
Okay.
Has your vet, did you talk to him about this?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he had pretty much, well, gosh.
Yeah. Well, you know, and sometimes making certain that, you know, you have to have enough of the medication to meet therapeutic values, mm-hmm. and make sure it's not exceeding that, because then it's okay. pretty much wasted. He might want to adjust that dosage. If
okay.
Jim's theory might be correct there, too.
Okay. Well, if the dog's slightly hypo, usually you don't medicate for that. I mean, they have to be
correct.
They have to be way under before you start medicating. So,
or way over.
Well, that would be different medication.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then my second question is a younger dog that I rescued, and my friend said that she would take it, but my friend is very busy and doesn't have time to train the dog. It's about a six-month-old black lab.
Not much of a friend.
Well, nobody
what was
would
she
take
thinking?
This, nobody would take this dog. I mean, and she was willing to have it as an outside farm dog to keep her other dog company. So it's you know, it's got a friend, and it's got a doghouse, and, you know, it just doesn't have a lot of company. And so when I go visit it, I try to go every couple of days to walk it. How is there any way a visiting person can stop this dog from just is so excited to see people? It jumps. I mean, this is a big jump, too.
It's a puppy?
Yes.
He's only six
big
months
puppy.
Old.
I mean, a big six-month-old female lab. And so
well, the way, whether you're just visiting or staying for a while,
mm-hmm.
The way, you don't train a dog not to jump. You train it to do something
okay.
incompatible with jumping, and that's sitting usually.
Okay.
So if you train – now, the jumping is just a greeting ritual.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I'm sure after a little bit of jumping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, the dog stops doing mm-hmm. it because there's no point in greeting. But if she learned to greet by sitting,
mm-hmm.
Then – she wouldn't jump on you when she greeted. And it's just a simple, you know, just the ordinary way of teaching a dog to sit. Now, with a puppy, you'd probably want to use food.
Okay.
Just take the food, show it to the dog, and then quickly put it over the dog's head.
Not too high, but close in
so that it has to kind of lean back in order to mm-hmm. get the food. And in doing so, sits down.
Okay.
And while you're doing that, you say sit, so not... The dog isn't going to sit because you say sit. The dog's going to sit because of the food.
Okay.
But that way you can remember what the signal was for sitting.
Okay.
It's a handy thing we have for training
people. You
know, people.
And with a young lab puppy that's so wound up and excited, it wouldn't be a bad idea to bring like a bumper or something for it to carry in its mouth, because that's having a sporting dog and sporting dog mix of my
mm-hmm.
own.
Mm-hmm.
they love to jump on me, but they have learned because I've given them things. Now what they do when I come home, and it doesn't matter if it's like six times in the course of the day, they run immediately to the living room sofa and grab throw pillows off.
Okay.
So, like, I have the world's cheapest throw pillows because, you know, I go through them a lot. But they run and grab those, and they're very content. They just, they have to have something in their mouth, so they've chosen that particular item. I'm very fortunate in that respect.
I defer to the sporting group person here. Yeah, another way to greet a working dog, a Labrador, would be to take a toy of some kind.
Okay.
Do you know what a bumper is?
Not exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. It's a canvas oblong device that you throw on the land or the water.
Yeah, it looks like a big submarine sandwich.
And you can get them in various sizes.
Okay.
They're called bumpers. You can throw, but any toy would do.
Mm-hmm. Any ball. Toy.
So the dog's getting excited, and instead of food, you throw at the...
Okay.
The toy, and then it'll run around probably whining a little. Not because it's unhappy, but because it's so excited.
Oh, yeah,
it'll
thrilled.
Go, and then you say, Fido, give it to me, and probably it'll give it to you. And then you throw it again, and then you do that for 2 years, and then the dog gets tired.
Dog grown up. Oh, you mean 2 years straight?
Oh, yeah. I've Labradors, you could throw sticks for the rest of your life, and they'd go get them.
But see, it goes to show you, though, how much they really enjoy human companionship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she really does.
So you're filling a nice void in her life going to visit her.
She is fun. I really like her. I just can't have her in my house because she's my little poodle.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your help.
And bring with the bumper, bring a rubber glove for yourself.
That's not a bad thought.
And a rubber baby buggy.
A
bumper.
Retriever, they just go and go and go, and that thing gets really slobbery. Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Okay. Thanks for the call this afternoon. Other questions, comments about dogs, dog stories, they're all welcome this afternoon. Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana are with us this afternoon. Join us with a telephone call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. And we're getting another call coming in, and Jason's picking up the phone in master control, so we'll talk to some other people in just a moment. Quick story about the event that you were going to talk about before we talked with Piatt County?
There are no quick stories. I'm sorry.
Yeah, who are you talking to, Celeste?
Takes me half hour to get warmed up.
Well, at least he knows his flaws.
Yeah. Well, we're ready to go now. Let's go to Cerro Gordo, line one. Hi.
Hi there. Hi. I have a similar question. We have a 6-year-old Border Collie Australian Shepherd mix, and the dog could just jump at an incredible height and likes to jump up on one. And what's the best way to teach a dog not to jump up on the owner as well as the guest?
Well, it's the same thing. We understand the concept of not doing something, but that's a little abstract for animals. So what you do is you teach the dog to do a trick or something that's incompatible with jumping, and generally that's sitting. And it's the easiest thing to teach a dog is sit. And so you teach the dog to sit so that when you go to greet it, obviously you look at your dog and they get that look in the eye like, I'm going to jump. And you say, if they know sit already, you say sit, the dog sits, and you can praise it at that point instead of yelling at it for jumping up on you. So you just put the dog on a lead, and there are a couple ways. You can gently pull up on the lead while you push down on the tail, just to give them the idea of what sit means. You can take the food and put it over their head real quick so that they have to lean back and in doing so sit. And you keep saying sit the whole time. Just teach them to sit. Then when they come to greet you, it's better food, I think, for this kind of thing. You have the food, you tell them to sit, and they'll jump and jump, and you just stand there. You don't do anything. And pretty soon and you just say sit again eventually. And pretty soon they'll sit, and then you give them the food. And that should only take a day or two.
Well, it's like when we teach recalls. That's what I was thinking about. When we're teaching people to call their dog to them, which seems pretty, intuitive to do, but you still teach it. You want the dog to come quickly, so the dogs learn to run real fast to the owner when they call. And then we have to eventually have the dog sit because they it's so much fun to come to their owner that they will run right into you because that's part of the game as well, or jump. So then we start to incorporate another phase of that and ask the dogs to sit. So in order to get the people to do this correctly, you have to have them ask the dog to do something as it's coming in, not when it's already there. So you anticipate where the dog is when you want to start to pay attention. You get their attention, you ask them to sit. And they come in eventually and give you a nice sit, and you reward that. It becomes part of that behavior.
With Aussies or, slash Border Collies, they are good retrieving dogs too. And if your dog is excited about retrieving, you can use a ball or a toy instead of food, you know, first to teach the dog to sit. And second, if you're walking up and the dog's running up, you have the toy and you can say sit or some other command like wait, whatever you want. And the dog sees the toy and it knows it's going to play a game. So it doesn't have to play the jump up game. It's going to play the retrieve game. And you say, here you go, and then throw it. Once again, once you start that game, it's the song that never ends.
Mm-hmm. What was that cute phrase they used in Babe the Pig? That'll do.
That'll do, pig.
That'll do. That'll do, pig.
You can say anything
that's
you want.
That's cute.
Yeah, but Border Collie people use that. Yeah. But I can only think of Babe the Pig at the time, but they'll say, that'll do. But just like that.
Yeah, the dog is quite easy to train.
Mm-hmm.
It learned to sit very quickly.
Yeah.
Very smart.
Well,
that's
what you want to use. It's also learned to jump, by the way. You didn't mean to teach it to do that, but inadvertently you taught it to jump.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I say one of the best ways to teach a dog not to jump is just to stand there. You sound like a rugged guy because if the dog starts jumping, yeah, it's going to hurt. But,
or turn your back. You know,
yeah,
I turn my back.
Yeah, turning back is good.
Turn your back on them when they start to do that.
Then they start jumping on your back.
But that's okay. That's no fun.
But pretty soon, you know, they jump and they don't get the result they wanted. In other words, jumping doesn't initiate the play. It doesn't initiate the game because you're just standing there.
Or acknowledgement.
You don't give them anything. And as soon as they sit, then, you know, it's praise and it's bumpers and it's toys and it's food.
Sounds like I need to learn some human training rather than dog training.
You know what?
Well, it's a hard...
That's it.
Yeah,
it's true.
You know, as I told the lady before, we use the word sit to get the dog to sit, not because the dog understands that, but because we understand it.
Sure.
So, you know, what word was I using to tell the dog to sit? Was it apple? Now, people that have attack, you know, like military dogs, they use nonsense phrases to get a dog to attack and to do whatever because they don't want the bad guys giving the commands, you know.
Sure.
So the actual command doesn't really matter. We say sit and down because that's what we remember, not because it means anything to the dog except that they're trained to do it when they hear that word. Do those things, and especially train the dog to sit when it comes up to you. The more positive, and then you can praise it when it comes up to you instead of, you know, getting into a, hey, get down, you stupid mutt, kind of mode.
Plots, that's the word they use.
Plots?
Plots. In Schützen, when they want the dog.
Sure.
That's where they call.
Well, plots means place in German.
Yeah.
And, but even in, we have a dog from Italy staying with us now. Woman brought him, and she was speaking to him in Italian. And I said to her, why are you doing that? He can't understand Italian.
Were you being funny?
I was being funny, because I don't understand Italian.
Did you have
Italian.
To explain that to her,
What are you saying to this dog? And you could see her talking to the dog, and it just didn't mean anything to the dog. As opposed to when you speak English to a dog, understand.
The dog, she didn't bring the dog with her from Italy?
No, she did, yes.
Okay, so he did understand her.
Well, I didn't understand her, so I assumed the dog didn't understand her.
See, this is how people think. This is why we have a lack of communication between
Well,
dogs
I would
and
say
people.
Things to him in English, and he'd understand perfectly.
Mm-hmm. He's translating.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you say we take another call?
Okay.
I thought that was pretty funny.
In Urbana, line two. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Just to illustrate how much labs like to carry things.
Uh-oh.
Years ago, we had a Labrador on a farm, and he always had to pick up a stick and carry it if he could. He'd go out to get the cows, and he'd always go along. In fact, he turned into a pretty good cow dog. But he'd always pick up a stick and carry that along. Looked rather as though he was smoking a pipe. If somebody took a tractor out to the field, he liked to follow along, but he had to pick up a stick.
Mm-hmm.
One day he couldn't find a stick, and he tried to tear a board off the machine shed door. Wasn't very popular for that. One day we were taking the drinking cups apart to clean them, and we got about halfway through and we realized all the pipes were gone. We picked up all these short lengths of pipe, maybe 3 feet long up, carried them outside the barn, and he put them down in a pile.
Well, at least you could find them.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't lose any.
They love to carry things.
But he just loved to carry things. And he's a great dog.
They're natural. That's why they call them retrievers.
Oh, yes.
And that's what's mad when people can't stand it when they do things like that. It's like,
what do you expect them to do?
Yeah, they don't think about that when they get one. Yeah.
If you ever watch the movie Beethoven with... anyway, it has the
St. Bernard.
At the end of the movie, they free all the dogs from the laboratory, and there's this maybe 20 dogs running through the movie set, which is supposed to be a street. And of course, they knock over the vegetable stand. And the golden retriever picks up a cabbage and starts.
Yeah, he stops and runs back, gets the cabbage, and he goes on with the rest of them.
So he starts running. He's got this cabbage in his mouth.
So funny.
I said, "There's a retriever."
Yeah. Well, thanks for the call, and let's take another call now. Listener in Atwood, line 4. Hi.
Yes, hello. About a year ago, we rescued a little male Pekingese who was 2 at the time, and he's extremely aggressive. And I think, like some of the other callers, I need some people training. But when we take him on a walk, he lunges on his leash. He acts like he wants to attack anybody we meet on the sidewalk. He's an embarrassment. When he's home with just my husband and me, he's as sweet as he can be. But once he gets outside, or if somebody comes to the front door, he races to the door and tries to break out and bark at the people. And
I'm sorry.
I don't know what to do with him.
He's throwing himself at the door.
Yeah. He's just, if there's truly an alpha male, it's he. And he's not, we've not established dominance with him, apparently. I don't know. Can he change? Can we change?
I wouldn't worry about the dominance.
Yeah. Is he neutered?
Yes, he is.
Neither Carol nor I see this as a dominance problem.
Okay.
And little dogs do this.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I'm condoning it, but little dogs are very good watchdogs, number one.
And a lot of people don't. I'm glad you see it as a problem because... obviously, if a Malamute did this, you go, oh, that's a vicious dog. With the Pekingese, everybody goes, oh, the little mop is barking.
Yeah.
I kind of see it in a dog pack, the subordinate wolves actually have the jobs of guarding and maintaining the perimeter and things like that. Uh-huh. And it's kind of their job to alert the rest of the pack when there's danger. And I think that's what your dog is doing.
Yeah. No. Okay. You got him when he was 2?
Yes.
And where'd you get him from?
Well, from a rescue home. When we got him, he was malnourished and flea-bitten, and he was bald.
Mm. Okay. So these people, he was in a foster home?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And how did he greet you when he met you?
He was happy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, see, this is solidifying what Jim is saying. Uh-huh. If he were truly an aggressive dog towards other people, he wouldn't have been extremely receptive to your attentions, I'm thinking. And, they're little lion dogs. Isn't what Pekingese, they're named little lion dogs?
Well, they're from Peking or Beijing or whatever. The little lions? They sat in the emperor's sleeves or something like that.
They sat in the emperor's sleeves, yeah. But they were alert dogs. And I don't think he's doing... teach him some
things.
Here's
what you do.
Okay.
The standard stuff, but do you feed him in the kitchen?
Yes.
Okay. Whenever you're training a dog, you have to control what's going on. So have a friend knock on the door, and then everybody run to the kitchen.
Okay.
And give the dog either a treat or give him part of his daily meal. You know, on the floor.
Uh-huh.
And then wait 5 minutes and do it again. And maybe do that 4 or 5 times. And do it a couple times during the week.
Okay.
What's happening is, again, inadvertent training, but somebody knocks on the door, everybody runs to the door.
Right.
All right? So he runs to the door, and what's his job? His job is to let you know there's somebody at the door.
Right.
And to kind of alert everybody. So he starts barking. Here's a stranger. Bark, 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 bark. There's somebody here. And your reaction, I'm guessing, is fight, Fluffy, be quiet.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
And Fluffy's going, what a bunch of idiots you are. I'm alerting you to this.
And I'm so much smaller than you.
I'm trying to help you people.
I'm trying to help you, and all you do is yell at me.
Right.
And so instead of, so what you're trying to do is, the signal here is the knock at the door or the doorbell, and everybody runs to the door, or at least some people do. Yeah. And so the dog does too. So have somebody knock on the door, everybody runs to the kitchen. And not only that, he gets some food while he's there. When somebody knocks on the door, if that you hadn't planned and the dog runs to the door, don't yell at him. Say, what a good dog you are for alerting us to the danger, and then walk him to the kitchen and give him some food. Punishment training or negative training, it just doesn't work here, because the more you yell at the dog, the more frustrated he gets and says, you don't understand what I'm saying. There's danger here.
Is he still trainable as far as taking him to an obedience class?
Oh, sure.
Leash leading and...
Okay. I think one of the oldest dogs I had in class was a 12-year-old golden retriever.
Really? Well, that's encouraging.
Yeah. I was thinking for the outdoor, the same thing. Is it targeted towards children, adults, bicycles?
Mostly, he's we worry about him with around children.
Yeah.
Sure.
He tends to want to go for them. And, you know, teeth showing and barking. And
Of
course they squeal, and then he just feeds on that.
Yeah. See if you can get a brave child.
Uh-huh.
And give them some, like, little pieces of chicken or something.
Something he likes.
Something the dog likes. Not, this is not for the kid to eat.
Right.
So have the child walk towards you, and you've got your dog, and you're going to be relaxed, okay? You don't want your leash tight. You don't want to be tense. He's not going to hurt this child. And as the child starts to approach, and when your dog starts to notice, have him drop this child or him or her drop little pieces of chicken.
Okay.
Or
might even throw them to your dog.
Or toss them or something. So anything to make all of a sudden this child...
A positive experience.
It's a positive experience. And not to say the dog ever had a negative experience. More than likely, he had no experience with children. And that's the problem.
Yeah,
and the children don't act the way they're supposed to, from the dog's point of view.
Right.
You know, they're not, they make erratic movements. They sound like wounded rabbits because they scream. Quick story, if I can do it. Years ago, my nieces and nephews were small, and we took some rather large Malamutes over, and they wanted to play with the Malamutes. And I said, okay, two rules. One, you can't run, and two, you can't scream. Okay? Okay. We let the dogs loose. The kids started running and screaming. Well, of course, the dogs tried to chase, run them down.
Right.
And I said, what did I just say? No. And that's what, that's why dogs, if they're not used to kids, they see kids and the kids are just not acting like humans. They're acting like kids. And so they'll bark and alert you to the danger.
I can just imagine how popular you were at family events. Oh, no, they brought those dogs again.
Oh, they loved them, but, it was like kids.
And a couple of them, 300 pounds of dogs.
Once we finish with this, let me tell you a story. But I don't want to say don't worry because the dog probably won't hurt the kid. I believe that.
No, a bite is a bite. Yeah. A nip is a nip.
And that's why you want to have the kid toss the food to the dog and not try to hand it to the food.
Oh, yeah, not hand it.
So, and toss it from a distance that's longer than your leash so the dog can't. But if your dog sees something and starts alerting you on the street and you're not ready for it, have the liver or the chicken walk backwards a few steps to get the dog's focus on you and turn it away from whatever it saw and then give it the food.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and walk in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's happening is the dog sees something. We don't know what it is that sets it off, and that's the stimulus, the response is to bark. So what we want to do is the dog sees something. We don't know what it is. We want the response to be to run to you and get food.
Okay.
Instead of barking.
All righty. Well, that sounds hopeful.
Call us back next month and let's see how it goes.
I will. I'll make a note to do that.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Our guests this afternoon, Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us here once a month on the first Friday of the month to talk with us about dog care, behavior, and training. If you'd like to talk with Jim and Carol about dogs, give us a call, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-WILL, and toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. You were going to tell us
a story?
Well, it's kind of disgusting, so viewers, use your discretion. But I took Tesla. My brother had just built a new house and had a beautiful basement and a beautiful white rug. We take Tesla. It was Christmas. We're there, and the whole family's there. Oh, look at this nice dog. Look at this nice dog. And he started to squat. And I thought, I better get him out of here. So I had to run out, run upstairs, run outside. And he had what we call in the business loose stool.
I love these stories.
And all I could think of was, thank heavens, because, one, everybody would have been offended. And, two, it never would have come out of that white rug. And my brother would have probably killed me. So I was really, really happy.
Yeah, I can see Jim and Robin pull them. They go, oh, no, they brought dogs again.
Oh, no. Well, they said, did you bring a dog? Yeah. Well, bring him down. No. Okay, we'll bring him down.
Let's talk with another caller, another listener. In Urbana, line one, hi.
Hello. I don't know if it was your last program or the one before that. You had a caller. I thought they had a golden retriever, and they talked about it sitting out in their yard and barking, and I don't remember if it was tied or in a pen, and you had suggested it maybe it wanted to be inside with the man that called, and I got to wondering, I have three dogs, and I thought maybe what the other dog needed, if he's bored, maybe he needs another dog to play with. My dogs, you know, all seem to just love to play with each other, and I think it, you know, give them something to do and they can't interact with me, and I don't think it takes me as much interaction time as it does would if I just had one alone.
Yeah, that would have been one solution to the problem is, you know, whenever a dog's lonely, get another dog. And a compatible dog, obviously, same size, not one that they'll fight with. I think the problem there wasn't was that somebody had a pet, and many, many, many people do this. They get a pet dog, and then they put it in the backyard, and they never react with it. Well, you get a lot of behavior problems from that. One is barking and annoying the neighbors, of course, but, you know, unwanted digging, unwanted aggressiveness, and it's usually just because people are ignoring their animals. And I think our suggestion was, well, there's no point in having a dog if you just leave it tied out in the backyard all the time. Why not bring it in the house? But your suggestion is certainly a legitimate one. And it doesn't necessarily have to be another dog. You know, it could be a cat or a turtle or anything, a horse. You know, obviously in town you couldn't do those things. But a companion, a lot of people get dogs as companion for horses.
I'm only laughing because the cat, turtle, horse is like, okay, what other species?
No, and because the animals are just lonely. You know, and if they have another animal, they don't even have to talk to each other. They don't have to be the same species, just so that they're not lonely. And I think that was the problem with this dog. And one solution would be, yeah, get another dog. But I think the problem was now both of these dogs would have been ignored, and we might have had two dogs barking all night. But, that's actually one of my solutions when people say my dog does this, and then, well, get another dog.
Double your pleasure.
But a lot of people don't look at it that way.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I get a lot of enjoyment just watching my dogs interact.
Sure.
Together.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, yes.
It's just interesting to watch them. So. Well,
yeah, and it's a lot different from watching a dog interact with a person. You know, you're actually seeing canine behavior when they interact with each other.
Thanks for the call. Let's take another one now. A listener in Piatone, line four, hi.
Hi. I've got a dog called Leon Berger. They said he was.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure he's not a full-blood dog, but you can see the St. Bernard in him. And he is a very active dog. We were at our wits' end. We'd tie him up. He'd bark. He was He was strong. When we'd walk him, he'd pull us around. He was absolutely a terror, and we didn't know what to do. But and when we'd let him go, he'd get away sometimes, and he'd be over at the neighbors. He'd be running across the highway, and just lucky he wasn't killed. But so one night he got out, and he didn't go away. So we let him out at night, and he won't. He stays around our place, and he's more content now, and just a beautiful dog. Hey, do you know the breed?
Mm-hmm. We do.
Yeah.
Well, very, very strong, but yet a very people dog. We let him in the house, and he'll lay down and just be, and he's very content. And now when we tie him up, in fact, I'm looking at him right now out in the yard, and he seems like he's, he's looking at me like, okay, I know this is my time of day to be tied up. Now, what do you think?
Well, do you have a problem?
No, we seem to mastered him, or we've trained him. He just seemed to be untrainable. What is that dog like, the Leonberger dog?
Well, there...
it was Dreyfus. Wasn't the dog named Dreyfus on some sitcom years ago?
No, I don't think Leonberger. They're, you're right. They're in the Mastiff family. They're okay. Kind of German shepherds. Is he brown?
Well, he's black, but he's got some of the reddish St. Bernard in him. They also say he has a Pyrenees in him, but he's
a Leonberger is not a St. Bernard Pyrenees mix.
No.
It's a breed unto its own.
Yeah, but they're in that kind of family of very large, massive head, coated.
I looked it up on the in the internet, and they said he was he gets the name, or the name came from a town in German or in Germany, Leonberg or Leonberg, Germany, and was developed just about was lost though during World War II, I think, because they were used and but the breed still exists.
Yeah,
they're not uncommon.
Yeah, Piatone.
Don't see much of them.
Piatone is not a large town. It's probably on the order of.
4,000, 5,000.
Yeah,
down
it
here,
be
maybe
really
rural. Sydney.
Yeah,
and you got to be careful with the dog, just because. A lot of people that do hunting with dogs will force break them to retrieve, even though they're already retrievers, and we've heard a lot about natural retrieving, just because they want the dog to retrieve when they tell them to. Your dog seems to have had some sort of epiphany and decided not to run away, but he could just as easily change his mind. The only thing I worry about with dogs of that size running loose in semi-rural areas is I think it's mostly grain farming up around Piatone.
Yeah.
But
right.
He could, if there's a sheep around someplace, he might decide to have a sheep burger.
Okay. Well, we will bring him in at night, but we can let him loose after dark, and he runs. I mean, he looks like a deer running across the yard, or when he comes in, when we can see him. And one day, I took him for a walk. Well, we walked a mile around the section, and he stayed with me so much, I let him loose, and then he wouldn't come back. He just ran down the road, and I didn't know what to do. I was going to go home and maybe get the car and see if I could find him. But I went back, and here he was in a neighbor's yard, and the neighbor was yelling at him, throwing stones at him, and he ran to me and about jumped in my lap. He was so afraid. So then I put the leash on and took him home.
I think that was a good idea.
Well, of course, yes. He's such a precious dog, though.
How old is he now?
Well, we've had him about 6 months. We got him at a pond in Indiana, and I would guess they thought he was a year to year and a half. He's under 2 years old.
Oh, so you're guessing that he's a Leonberger?
We're guessing. That's what they told us he was.
Yeah, odds of that are pretty slim, I'd say.
It sounds like he's mostly Leonberger.
Yeah, but those are running around.
The people that sell Leonbergers, they don't give them away.
No, they're very expensive, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And it's not a rare breed, but it's
But it's just not one you see. It's like all the basset hound mixes you get in shelters. There's not that many basset hounds running around. That's not what it is. So,
we're getting along with him now.
Well, I think that's great.
He's such a beautiful, just a loving dog. Very, very, very affectionate.
Yeah, he probably would love chickens too. So watch out.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, enjoy the show.
Thank you.
We have a couple minutes remaining in this portion of the program. If you'd like to join us, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. So in way of summing up here this afternoon, we got about...
I flunked at the National.
Yeah, I wanted to hear how the National went.
It was the sits days, although the second day on the...
You wanted, for our audience, it's the Alaskan Malamute.
It's a Malamute National, especially in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin.
How beautiful to see just Malamutes. The specialties are wonderful to go to.
And what a fun place to... And I think, I estimate, we had seven dogs that I walked at least three times a day. I estimate I walked over 30 miles during that week.
Oh, I thought you meant a day.
No. Well, probably 5-6 miles a day, which is more than I normally walk, which is about a block.
So how did you do?
Well, on the recall, Marty came in on the second day, and just before he got to me, ran over to the trophy table to pick up his high-end trial award somewhat prematurely. And so that was but he got up both days on one of the sits or the downs.
And you two got best of breed with Teslin. What year was that?
It was 10 years, the National 10 years
ago.
Yeah,
to get best of breed at your national specialty, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was. I've won and I've lost, and winning is better.
Well, you've got one last call to take this afternoon. A listener on line one, Ivesdale. Hi.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hey, I'm having a puppy problem. I'm having a little trouble figuring out. I've got a 8-month-old chocolate lab who greets those of us that live in the house very calmly. But we bring a stranger into the house, and she's just over-exuberant, and I'm having trouble figuring out. We've trained her fine for walking in the door for family members, but new people, she's just going crazy.
Well, it's the same principle as we've been talking about. Find a new person, and so that you're in control of the situation. You know when they're coming. Put the dog on a lead. When the new person comes in, you're prepared to tell her to sit. Then you can have the new person hand her food or whatever you use to teach her to sit. Or, you know, it might be a toy or it could be food.
Yeah. Don't you think they should use somebody that they know rather than drag somebody in off the street that's totally new and might be afraid to
I'm only saying somebody the dog may not know. And in fact, the dog may do this with people it knows.
It might do it with friends every day.
Friends every day. That's what I mean. But whoever it is, the dog... And it sounds like a problem that you'd like to have. That is, the dog is too friendly rather than...
You always want them too friendly.
Yeah.
He's definitely a friendly pup.
Exactly. So, but reinforce the sit when people come in. The dog will get very excited, but then you have the person... All they want to do is greet the person and have the person come over while they're on a sit. And the same deal, if she goes crazy... You have to have a person that knows what to do. Have them just either turn their back on her or just stand there while she tries to jump. And whatever you guys do, the family does, don't yell at her. Don't say no. Just, you know, let her jump. That won't work. She'll have to do something else. And as soon as you see that she's kind of getting frustrated, then you say sit. She sits, and then she gets all the praise.
All right.
You know what I think is the best solution?
You can get her hind legs about 4 feet off the ground.
Oh, I know, yeah.
You limit your circle of friends to dog lovers, and the rest can just stay away. That's it.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
You want somebody big that can handle the big dog jumping on them.
Yeah. And see, those things don't even bother me. Yeah. To go to somebody's house, and they don't bother me. But
well, I have to say...
But I wouldn't. I remember when my mom, we were going out for dinner. Robbie was a pup, and she's got this beautiful mink coat. And she came down the stairs, and that, and she had turned into this like his chew toy, and he just he thought that was the greatest thing. She had to run upstairs and take it off. Couldn't wear it the whole time she was there.
Well, if you have a puppy jumping up and hitting you in the middle,
you
start teaching them to sit.
8-month-old lab puppies are pretty
then
big.
Robin says, don't teach the dogs to sit. They have to stand for the show ring.
Sometimes it's more of an issue for the owner than it is for the guest But it can be a problem for the guest. The guest might just be totally freaked out. It's a huge, big dog, and they're not used to dogs. But I think sometimes it's, you know, when I visit somebody with a dog, they're kind of like, you know, down. I said, it's fine.
And it's just, sometimes the more you fuss at them, the worse it gets.
Yeah, so if you could just be totally calm and, you know.
Well, specifically because they don't understand what down means. They understand you're yelling at them. Yeah. And it just adds to the excitement.
So, but it is very useful to have a dog that you can say sit, and it's very helpful.
I think, sit is just the universal cure for everything.
I don't think I've ever seen it happen in my house.
That's because you're not a very good trainer,
I'm
afraid.
I'm not.
But that's the description I have here on the paper. Dog trainer, Carolyn Holm, dog trainer Jim Keel.
I can do wonders with other people's dogs.
Yeah. Well, there we'll leave it until December. How about that?
December 1st, I believe, is the first Friday in December. I believe it is.
All right. Well, thanks again. Good to see you.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
You too. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us once a month on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs.